Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of These Parts. I'm Vince McNally. With me this week, as he is almost each and every week, to my greatest pleasure and affection, my brother, traveling companion, and friend, Elliot McNally. Elliot, what a town we're in. It's going to be good.
What a town, and what a lyrical and musical intro you just gave, Vince.
I had to. Given the setting, it felt wrong not to add a little sing-song to my introduction.
Music has definitely been on our minds this week, particularly because of the planning of RandCon and what we have planned for that.
Yeah, you're lining up 114 different individual musical acts, especially with there only being two stages and 4 days of festivities. Has led to some scheduling hurdles and challenges.
The schedule hurdle I'm sure you're referring to is that they could, all 104 bands could only play at the exact same time. So I'm sure our fans will be thinking, wow, that maybe they'll be doing medleys of each other's songs together. They will be playing together, but they'll be playing adjacent to each other simultaneously on stage.
If you've ever seen that episode of Star Trek where Data is listening to like 30 songs at the same time because he's an android and has an android brain, it's going to be a lot like that.
Our android fans will be very pleased. Our human ones, it's suspect.
That said, the sounds in this town have been much more melodic, much more soothing, and not at all compiled on top of each other in such a way that makes you nauseous and dizzy.
And what else would you expect from the North Woods? We're in an amazing Wisconsin town today, a town that I think we should put on the map.
Absolutely. So, listeners, unfurl, unfold, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall map, whatever form you may have, and find a sleepy little northern town called Nontalk.
Nontalk is home to several musicians who are hunkered down in cabins at any given time recording their breakthrough albums. With us today is one of these musicians. Would you care to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, I'm a Twilight Mastodon. I've hunkered down here in these cabins, as you say. I'm just trying to, I've had my musical breakthrough, but just trying to hold on like a rope, so I don't lose it.
Hold On Like a Rope is the title of your first album.
Right. My eponymous album, Hold On to the Rope, was my band's name. And, you know, now it is different.
Well, good luck up here. Just a quick tour through the town has left me feeling serene, able to concentrate, focused. It's a pretty remote area up here. How's it going so far?
It's good. The area. It's like, it's not so much the woods as it is like a magnetic place on Earth that heals the musical soul.
I'm sure it's very conducive to artistry. Just being here, I feel more creative.
Well, you'd think that, but I get my own air pumped in from Detroit.
The Motor City, you're pumping air from there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's where my grandfather's from. So I gotta get the musical. It's a quantum thing, really.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, of course.
Well, before we give away too many tricks of the trade, maybe we should put a pin here in Nontalk.
Oh, is that where I am?
Let's hope so. So, Twilight, can you pick a pin out of our pin barrel and stick it right in your town?
All right, sure. I got just from the top, or should I dig down?
I wouldn't do that unless you're wearing protective handwear.
Well, I'm an artist, so we know pain. I'm just going to dig right down to the bottom here and grab. Oh, shit.
Oh.
Shit. All right, I grab this one.
And a couple of them seem to have grabbed your back, but yeah, you just go ahead and stick that in Nontalk, and we'll have someone attend to this. those pin ones.
Well, you know, I grew up a snake handler, so I'm you know, these, as long as these aren't poisonous, I am good.
No, our poison tip pins didn't fare that well on the market. You know, Twilight Mastodon, I did say your town. I guess I was mistaken, and maybe this relates to your growing up as a snake handler, but not a lot of musicians are actually from Nontalk. They just come here to write their albums. So what drew you here?
Well, you know how birds have that thing in their brain so they know how to migrate?
Yes.
It's called brain, I think, or it's a magnetic thing. So I just kind of, yeah. So this feels like home. I put my shoes on my feet, put a stick in my hand, and just started walking until I stopped.
Are you quoting one of your songs right now?
Well, just yet to be released. You may have heard a live rendition, and I do not, you know, with cell phones and stuff these days, you just can't control.
The bootleg market, I'm sure, up here, is awful.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I just play strictly bubble tea bars until the album's out. So
for such a small and remote Midwestern town, I did need to comment that Nontalk seems to have what I would call, as a layperson, oversaturation of bubble tea bars.
Well, you got the one on 6th and 5th. Those are separate ones. The one on 5th and also the one on 6th. And then you got 8 and 7.5. But that's it, really. There's just 4. They're in close proximity. But, I mean, 4 is not too... I mean, town of, 200? 200 such?
That's only 50 person per bubble tea bar.
That's right.
When you say it like that, it makes perfect sense.
You just don't want to run into someone you know there, or else it throws you off, you know?
Sure. So I'm assuming that you guys as musicians have a schedule worked out where you're not overlapping too much at the bubble tea bars.
Yeah, we check our our app. We have an app. It's called Where You At. We just make sure we're not at Where We At that the other people are at. Yeah, that's right.
That makes perfect sense.
It's kind of like we pretend we're alter egos, like I'm a Clark Kent or a Superman. I don't want to run into myself. Or else the world explodes. Is that how comics work?
I think so.
All right.
And, you know, they say that the music industry is so cannibalistic, but it seems up here you guys have a certain rapport and respect for what the other person is doing.
Well, respect is it's respect in the way that you keep your distance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you don't want to copy anyone else. I mean, we all sound pretty different. Up here, we're not using the same sound at all. I mean, sure, we're all we all got that kind of harmonica Brian Wilson thing going on, but beyond that, I'm totally different.
And you know, our discussion of music, I'm feeling is just beginning to broach, Vince, but we have a segment that is tailor-made for it.
Absolutely, we couldn't wait to break it out for this town in particular. It's a little ditty we call Town Sounds.
So, guys, Town Sounds is our exploration into the musical vivre of the town we're in. Who better to discuss this with than Twilight Mastodon? Twilight, do you have any favorite other musicians in town?
Well, there's a Cubert Beanbag. He is the, I need to describe Cubert Beanbag? I mean, we all know.
Well, maybe to our less musically educated, you know, audience, we can't assume everyone has their finger on the pulse of the indie music scene.
All right. Well, he's the kind of the grandfather of revivalist banjo high funk.
He's the grandfather of that?
He's the grandfather. Wow. Yeah, that's right.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, you got your banjo players, but how many are playing high funk, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Not many, just Cubert.
I think that we should listen to Cubert Beanbag so our listeners can understand what we're talking about. Do we have a clip lined up, Vince?
We most certainly do. Enjoy the musical stylings of banjo high funk artist Cubert Beanbag.
I went away to put my head on some, and I'll stay till my album goes triple platinum. Ooh, I've been in Scotland. I ain't been shown. Ooh.
Wow, Wow.
Bold and exploratory. That's how I would describe that music.
You know, people think that when you're listening to a musician who's been hunkered down in the cabin in the North Woods, it's going to just be some acoustic, melodic drone. But it's so much different than what we're hearing right now.
How would you describe what we just heard?
Talking to me.
Yes. Excuse me, Mr. Mastodon.
No, you're staring me in the eyes. I just sometimes get confused. Like I'm looking at a clock and then I space out.
Well, I can see the gears in your mind. It seems like you're always working on a song.
What's that now?
I said it seems like you're always working on a song or something creative.
I'm going to write that down. Hold on. You're always working on a song or something creative.
I'm tapping my foot already.
I stretched that down over like 10 minutes. And then we got something. You're asking my opinion on that song?
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
You know how some songs have high notes and some have low notes?
I do.
Yeah, it's the way you put those notes together that Beanbag's real good at.
So you're saying he, as a musician, he's good at the semblance of notes that create a song?
Yeah, and not everyone has to be good at that, but, you know, some people are known for putting notes together. Tamika.
Irrefutably true. What an interesting way to kick things off. You mentioned that a lot of new upstart musicians flock to this town, but old Beanbag has been at it for a long time. He's on his 39th album in half as many years.
Yeah, half as many as two, I think. So 1 year?
Very prolific. Excuse me, I didn't understand just how industrious of a musician old Qbert was, but...
Well, the thing is, he doesn't throw anything out. You know, everything's like... some people have table scraps, but he's just...
I mean, speaking of which, one of my favorite tracks on that album is just 40 minutes of him chewing some sort of meaty dish.
Oh, you think it's meat, but it's a soft wood.
That is the only track on that album, actually. You mentioned him not throwing away any scraps, because if he did, he wouldn't have a song.
Yeah.
Each one of his albums is just the one song.
Right. You go to the double disc, which is one track spread over two discs. You need one of those old-fashioned record players that'll swap it out for you if you want to really enjoy it proper.
And I really did enjoy that proper. Vince, have you heard any band this week that you thoroughly enjoyed?
I absolutely have. It was funny when you mentioned the bootleg market here in Nantauk, because one of my favorite groups is this true upstart traveling here from the American South. They're called Boots for Legs, and the entire... band does that thing where you crawl around on your knees, but you like put shoes under your knees, so it looks like you have really short legs.
How does this influence their musical sound?
Well, I mean, it's kind of agnostic to the actual music they produce, but they work some sort of percussive shuffling of the boots into some of their music.
Mm, interesting. So I think we have a clip lined up of Boots for Legs. So let's hear it.
We do, listeners. Look out for the extended rap verses that come in between some of the more fluty, folksy, shuffling tunes of Boots for Legs.
I went away to put my head on the sun, and I'll stay till my album goes triple platinum. Ooh, it's so
wow, if that's not toe tapping, then I don't know what is, Vince.
I'm actually not certain they could tap their toes in their current arrangement.
I guess it would technically be knee tapping.
That's what it is. That is a knee tappingly good song.
Twilight Mastodon, do you know these guys? Have you performed with them ever?
I haven't performed with them, but I am distantly related to two of them.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. So do you know the secrets of their methodology of these boot on their knees?
It's more of a soft cloth with rubber on it. You want something that molds to the knee, so a boot is going to be a little stiffer. It's a faux boot look.
So the secret is it's not boots at all?
For all intents and purposes, it's boots, but it's not boots.
I see. Well, that clears that up. Elliot, what about you? Have you encountered any musicians, any songsters in the town that have stood out particularly to you?
Yeah, of course. There's one guy who goes by the moniker Bueno Invierno, and his album is... There's always those stories about musicians going to music producers, giving them the demo, and them saying, this is the album. That was not the case for Bueno Invierno. He had the demos. They made him thoroughly rewrite every track because they had no idea what they were listening to. But the result was his debut album, For Emma, about 45 minutes ago. And it is astounding. You know, it's not folk. It's not jazz. It's unclassifiable to me.
And Unclassifiable is the name of the first track on the album, which we're about to play for you right now.
I went away to put my head on the sun, and I'll stay till my album goes triple platinum. Ooh, I can't stop seeing. I ain't been shown before.
So listening to that, do you see what I mean, Vince? It's so hard to put your finger on in between the trumpet interludes or the spoken word elements. It's crazy.
What really stood out to me, Elliot, was just how completely unlike the first two tracks that we listened to that song was.
Yeah, that's probably the most evident thing.
Completely starkly different. Twilight, what did you think of this guy?
Well, it's like when you got a mouth full of strawberries, but you don't want to swallow. It's like you get that you don't want to choke, but you don't want to spit it out. You know,
your lyricism is astounding to me. It's just everything you say is a song.
I used to walk around with the tape recorder, but now I just got to have people remind me what I'm saying so I can put it in songs.
Well, I see. Maybe it's just me, but I think the bottles of exhaust from Detroit that you continuously huff, I mean, that doesn't leave a lot of room for you to carry a recorder, right?
It's not much. It's not bottles, but it's a direct pipe. It's a pipe from the city. With the series. It's a pneumatic tube of Detroit.
I saw a little face mask and the pipe going out the door. I just assumed it was to some sort of tank outside of our RV. But you mean to say that it goes all the way to the Motor City itself?
Oh yeah. Well, there's a lot of money in whatever kind of music I write, however you want to classify it. Star rock, bumblebee hums. Whatever. So I was able to get that pipeline going.
And I'm sure that Detroit is just becoming this hotbed of creativity, and so they want to prop up their own. And is it true that you actually have a court stenographer with you so that she can remind you of what you've said so you can turn it into songs?
Yeah, at all times.
That's the woman that's sitting right next to you, right?
Usually she's on my back if I'm out and about. You know, I've got a special carrying case.
She is very petite.
Well, that's nice of you to say, but she's not. I mean,
she's kind of scowling at us.
She's an average person. That's the problem with these days. Everybody doesn't want to say what they want to say, but you got to say what you got to say, or else there isn't anything in this world to believe in.
Wow, eloquently put. And Vince, I think we should hear what our listeners have to say.
I think that's a fantastic idea. Let's do it in a segment we call Wouldn't You Like to Know?
So listeners, Wouldn't You Like to Know is your weekly opportunity to write into Vince and I and our guest and ask us questions about whatever town we're in. We have time for three each week, and guys, I have the first one.
I can't wait to hear it. Who's it from?
This one is from William in, actually right here in Nontalk, Wisconsin.
No kidding. Well, William, here's your time to shine. What's he have to say?
He says, guys, I'm huge into the music scene, and I'm so happy that our economy has been propped up by all these musicians coming to Nontalk. He goes on to say, I've wanted to lean into this by creating my own Airbnb cabin for musicians to stay in. I wanted to have some advice on what to outfit this cabin with.
Well, that sounds like a very industrious idea, William, and a great question besides. Mastodon, what do you look for when you're in looking for a cabin to compose in?
Just quilts on the walls, really.
I'm assuming you're also going to need some sort of hole that pipe can stream through.
Well, for me personally, but that's not everyone's.
Sure.
Everyone does things a little differently, but who doesn't enjoy a draped fabric?
So are these quilts of any certain varietal? Are they Navajo or Turkish? Or?
Just something that commemorates times gone past. So the older the better. So if you want to, do a history of Sweden or what happened to First Man as it was crawling out of the, crawling out of the monkey, as they say.
So you're saying that these you're saying that these quilts don't just have patterns, they actually have depictions of these stories.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's you want to be inspired and distracted, and sometimes you just got to get out of your own mind.
So listeners, if you're like William and you're trying to set up a compositional cabin, trawl your local community sales, your church bazaars, your secondhand stores, try to find, if possible, biologically accurate quilts about the rise of mankind. That's all you need.
Yeah, is there any furniture in your perfect Airbnb cabin, Twilight, or are you sleeping on these quilts? What are you doing?
Well, these aren't sleeping quilts, for one.
Oh, they're only for looking at.
They're hanging quilts. I find the best sleep is on hard wood, just a flat back. If the shoulders are where you carry your tension. Hmm. So if you don't have tension in those shoulders, you're not a musician.
It's the Kurt Cobain method.
Yes, and I've heard that about him, that he liked to sleep on boards. I think that's his most defining quality.
I think he liked to sleep on horse is the way I heard it.
On horses?
Just horse.
He'd like to sleep on horse. Stew on that one, listeners, while I pull out the next question, and it comes from James in Port of Spain, Virginia.
So what does James have to say, Vince?
James writes, I think it's all well and good that you guys are talking about the musical acumen of one Nantuck, Wisconsin. So do we, James. He goes on to say, but you'd be remiss as true scholars if you didn't mention their four ways into cinema. I've got a sinking feeling, Elliot.
Yeah.
He goes on to write, talk for a minute, if you could, about the seminal musical hit from the 70s, Deliverance, which was, of course, goes without saying, directed, filmed, and set in Nantuck, Wisconsin.
He said goes without saying?
He wrote, it goes without saying.
I think it's worthy of saying that it actually wasn't.
I think it goes with saying that you're wrong, James.
Twilight Mastodon, does this happen often? Do people confuse Nantuck with the setting of the 1970s thriller Deliverance?
Well, there's a lot of banjo in the air, so you're going to get that.
Ah, sure. Yeah, Hubert Beanbag. Do people... Was he part of the film at all?
Not that I know of. I mean, I haven't checked IMDb, but I'm pretty sure... That was before his time. Well, who's seen Burt Reynolds recently? He might be Burt Reynolds.
That's true. He might be. You could say that about anyone, I guess.
You shave off a mustache and then suddenly you're in Deliverance. It's weird. It's a disguise.
I think it should also be said that a banjo-only supergroup that came over as part of the J-pop sensation of the last 10 years, Du Ling Banjos, is making quite a splash here in Nantuck.
That goes without saying.
It does. It sure does. Well, all right. Thanks anyway for writing, James. You seem to be mistaken, but it led to a semi-interesting discussion, so you're off the hook. Twilight Mastodon, do you have the third and final question for us?
I do. It's right in front of me, and I will open it up and read it for you.
Perfect.
This one is from Court from Portland, Oregon.
Hey, thanks for writing, Court.
Yeah, Court says, well, the phrase here in Portland, there's that stuttering is in the letter. So,
oh yeah, I see that. That's interesting.
Portland's known for keeping it weird. Keep Portland weird. So, what's aside from music? What is Nantuck known for? I mean, aside from music, there's other stuff there, right? I mean, come on, guys.
It's a very conversational method of writing.
He's got himself a mammoth complex, I believe.
So speaking as a musician, I'm sure you're very entrenched in the musicality of Nantuck, but is there anything else here?
Well, aside from the bubble tea infestation, there's definitely a beekeepers, for one. And then you got a few Knights of the Templar in town. There's a lot of cabins here, so there's a lot of people just kind of holding.
Do you mean to say, sorry to interrupt for quickly, Twilight, do you mean to say that ancient members of a crusading holy order in Europe are present here today in Nantauk, Wisconsin?
Yeah, that goes without saying. I mean, where else are they going to hole up?
They actually own the vast tapioca fields that are used to make the balls for the bubble tea, don't they?
Yeah. You know, when you're a Knight of the Templar, you got to have it's like a monk, you know, you got to sustain yourself somehow to do what you want, and you don't want to take money from other people. You know, some monks brew beer, Knights of the Templar harvest tapioca. Mm.
It's almost their Zen garden, creating the perfect spherical tapioca ball.
And every so often, you see a field of slaughtered Christians, but beyond that, it's a pretty quiet town.
I certainly didn't expect to hear that in a town where mostly you expect to hear music. The Lamentations of the Faithful was really not on the list of things I needed or wanted to hear, but we heard it anyway. And given that recent foray into lawlessness, maybe we should talk about a segment that we like to break out from time to time, Elliot.
That's called You Can't Do That Here.
So listeners, you probably know as well as anyone that when you travel the country, you run into certain things that are, I guess, against local legislation, ordinances, or simply common customs. That's what You Can't Do That Here is. It's an exploration of those things in the towns we stay in.
Twilight Mastodon, for us newcomers, is there anything that you should stay away from being a visitor in town? Something that might get you thrown in jail?
Yeah, this happens a lot more often than you'd imagine. But they do not like people floating in the air. You got to stay on the ground, please.
So you can't enter some sort of state of euphoria that propels you into the air to float around?
Well, however you get there. You know, euphoria or witchcraft, magic, wishes, talismans,
bubble tea.
I mean, if you get a
exaltation in the slaughtering of the non-believers that causes to rise up in a sort of rapturesque levitation.
Yep. You would be surprised how many Peter Pans we have in jail. You just gotta. After a while, the production just had Peter Pan stay on the ground.
What about the more conventional means of levitation? Your hot air balloons or your hovercraft?
Well, see, if you got your feet on a platform, as long as it's off the ground, that's fine. But coming around unassisted, I guess. I mean, wires are obviously one thing, but if there's solid something under your feet, then you're good.
Oh, so some people are actually going the lengths of not actually floating, but using wire rigs to appear that they're floating around.
Yeah, we call them fakers.
Is it true that the jail is also plagued by the Lost Boys constantly trying to break the Peter Pans out of jail?
It is. That's what most of our taxes go to, is preventing the Lost Boys from getting Peter Pans out of jail.
It's crafty and hard to catch those Lost Boys.
Our taxes are at about 90% here. 90% of our earnings go to the jail.
Interesting. So you are using 10% of your earnings just to live and make your music then?
Yeah, but I'm very wealthy.
I see.
So you have to be independently wealthy first to venture into Nantauk to create an album.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, you know, everyone here is friends with Jack White, but, you know, he doesn't just give away money.
Well, I noticed that you're wearing a fur coat and a fur top hat, and I was going to say there was a resemblance to Jack White, but I didn't want to step on any toes.
No, that's okay. You know, he doesn't just give away money, but he does encourage some sort of a plastic surgery to look more like him.
Well, and he has so many fur coats that... You know, it's very philanthropic of him to give them away to you guys.
Yeah, it's a kindness. It's a way to endear himself to us, and before he, you know, steals our sound for his own.
Much like a feudal lord presiding over a duchy in Romance Europe, he taxes you in the form of lyrics and licks to add to his own ever-growing indie empire.
Yeah, well, I think the Bible, you know, says, you know, we're all serfs to Jack White's pleasure.
I remember that passage from my mm-hmm. from my education as a youth.
Oh, you're a snake handler too, then?
We were required by the McNally family mm-hmm. to dabble in all sorts of arts, some of the occult, much like snake handling. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I would consider myself an amateur at very, very best.
I mean, we have 7 years of training, but that constitutes an amateur in the snake handling spheres.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, interesting. So don't levitate, listeners, if you're planning to come here. What are some other things that you learned, Elliot, about your time here?
Okay, so walking around, I was almost thrown in jail. In the winter, I have kind of a heavy beard. You know, there's not much I can do about it. And a cop stopped me and demanded that he handed me a razor and demanded I shave patches into my beard. He said that, ironically, these mountain man musicians cannot have full facial hair. It has to be patchy. It has to be wispy. It's just part of the look.
Interesting. Twilight, have you ever had to, patch up your facial hair personally?
Oh, well, as a musician, it just comes in like that.
I'm not a musician, so that probably explains it.
Interesting. See, I've always grown a very diseased-looking crop of facial hair, so perhaps I have some unlocked musical talents left yet to be explored, Elliot.
I mean, I know this listeners ask questions, but I'm going to ask one.
Please, Twilight.
What instruments have you not tried?
Well, I, as part of my education as a young McNally member, I was trained in most of the classical instruments and failed miserably at them. But there are some that I haven't tried. I haven't gotten into the didgeridoo yet. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've never tried to play a shawm. I only took a couple of weeks of recorder school, so perhaps a little more time is needed to really find out if I'm a natural at that or not.
Have you tried the when you put the cymbals between your knees and then smack them? Have you tried that one?
No, I can't say that I've tried the knee cymbal.
All right, I'd give that one a go.
Hand cymbal.
Vince, I do want to say that whenever we've been in the presence of a theremin, you seem to have almost a magnetic draw to it.
I'm not 100% sure what that instrument is, but...
That's the one that sounds like a ghost.
Exactly.
I'll take your word for it, Elliot. Maybe I should... Let's look up... What was it? A theremin?
Yeah.
Let's look up theremin lessons when we're back on the road, Elliot. Until then...
You know, your birthday's coming up, so...
Well, happy birthday to you coming up.
Thanks very much, Twilight Mastodon. One thing I did want to mention about the laws here, not quite a jailable offense, but we did get a ticket for the RV when we parked on the street and not randomly on someone's lawn.
I want to mention, too, that several times we came back to our RV and there was... An indie musician hunkered down in it already. We couldn't leave it for 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's kind of like a shared space economy, as we've been told here. And anything left in a place that's inconvenient to reach, that's ticketable. You need to make it easy for the often malnourished musicians to jimmy open the door or crawl through a window.
Mm-hmm. Twilight, do you have a certain cabin that you always come back to? Do you change it up? What's your method?
Well, I have my Detroit cabin, but every so often we do a kind of a key party where we just go and draw keys and go home alone to someone else's cabin.
I'm sure that sparks some creativity, though.
Yeah, well, it's different when you're yanking it in a different bathroom, so,
But I'm sure you're comfortable because all the cabins probably have some sort of Swedish-inspired quilts on the wall.
You got your quilts there, so you're always feeling at home. So you're not like, where am I? But you're like, where am I?
A distinction that we won't soon forget, given the imagery that accompanies it. I didn't know that. Sometimes I wish it could stay that way, but it hasn't. And let's open the door to even more forbidden knowledge, Elliot.
In a segment we call Did You Know?
So listeners, we know that you don't always have time to listen to the entire show. So we have a segment that everybody loves called Did You Know? It's a fast fire, rapid release trivia segment where we explore 5 fun facts about the towns we're staying in. Elliot, it seems like you've got the first one and you're ready to go.
I am ready to go. Guys, did you know that although every musician in Nontalk wants to have a big break, there is one celebrity with whom no one will do business?
Who is that?
Nontalk is plagued by Zach Braff constantly walking around trying to partner with people to get them to use their songs in his movies, and nobody wants any part of it. Has he ever approached you, Mastodon?
He has, but we all know about his Kickstarter bullshit. That guy has got money. We don't need to fund his ass.
Yeah, it comes with a price, and you're not just going to give him your music for whatever, you know, coming-of-age drama he's working on.
Music is so commercialized these days. I mean, it sometimes it just needs to exist and not be part of something. Mm-hmm. You know, not part of an album, not part of somebody's ears, not part of a movie. You know, not part of, what's that thing Beck did? Just put it down on paper and give it out.
Yeah, he made stickers also. can music be stickers?
That's the information that I hear. Can just be stickers. Or in The Informant? I forget what it's called.
Well, that was Beck's album, The Information. I guess it's proven that it is.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Elliot, I didn't know that, but it dovetails nicely into my Did You Know. Did you know that there's a booming market for anti-BRAF measures here in Nantauk?
Really? So what are these measures?
Well, you can go to any number of anti-BRAF outfitters. They have anti-BRAF materials for your home, for your vehicle, and for your person. Some of them include sayings written, like signs, that are not ironic. And so that would force BRAF to read a sentimental and earnest statement, which he, of course, abhors. There's your small misters that you can attach to a vehicle or you can carry, which dampens his hair. And if his hair doesn't have a signature lazy coif to it, he loses his powers, it's said. And also you can buy season 10 of Scrubs, which burns his flesh if it comes into contact with him.
So much like hanging garlic outside of your door threshold, you can hang a season 10 DVD of Scrubs.
You can hang season 10 and DVD of Scrubs. Yeah.
Some people melt that down and just put an X on their door just to make sure.
So he passes over them.
He can sense the material from which a season 10 disc, be it the actual season or the special features, has been minted from. And so the material retains its magical anti-particles.
That is so interesting. And Twilight Mastodon, do you have our next Did You Know fact?
Yeah, I do. Did you know that Nantauk has the deepest building in the world?
The deepest building?
The deepest building.
I definitely didn't know that. What does that entail?
Well, it just goes down instead of up. So you start at the crust. You go down through the mantle. all the way to the mantle. Yeah. And then it's splitting hairs if you say it's going up on the other side or not. But I consider it still going down.
What is this building used for?
It's a dump thing. It dumps things.
So like if you record something you don't like, you can just go to the deep building and throw it in there. If you record something that you decide isn't worthy of the world hearing, you can just throw it in the building.
I don't think you understand music. It's more for like you know, if your shoes fall apart too much, or if you got one of those BRAF clones that you murdered, you can dispose of it. All right, so there's a lot of BRAF clones.
I hear that if BRAF talks to a victim for more than 15 consecutive minutes, it becomes sort of a spawn of BRAF and will walk the land seeking handouts, even though it's quite wealthy itself.
Yeah, you always want to sleep within a ring of salt, just to keep yourself safe. Throw some toothpicks on the ground just in case.
Or failing that, you can. I'm reading this from a sort of old text, and it's written in Old English, so forgive me if the translation's not 100% correct. But you can read aloud the filmography of Donald Faison from its IMDb or Wikipedia entry, and that will keep the BRAF spawn away.
The other thing I've heard is that you can hire John C. McGinley to come and talk to the BRAF clones in a very short and curt style until they snap out of it.
Another thing he doesn't like is if you call him Ron Livingston.
Yeah. So
he's just awful. He gets real sad.
Yeah.
So any of those countermeasures will keep you safe. Or they can be slain by mortal means as well. So that's really interesting. Elliot, do you have another Did You Know for us?
I do. It's going to be hard to top that one, guys. But did you know that it is illegal to create any music absent of auto-tune?
Really? That surprises me.
Yeah. You know, it's been very popular in rap for a number of years, and it's been since appropriated by white people making folk music, and now it's just a staple. You have to include it. Twilight Mastodon, are you embracing of this, or do you not like auto-tune?
No, you gotta embrace it. You gotta take as much as you can from whoever you can. So you gotta, you know, as the dominant culture, it's our responsibility to usurp and manipulate. And to remove from like a person, you take it without appreciating is the way to do it. You know, it's like, I like this, I don't like you.
Well, and then there's just this obligatory use. It's impossible to argue with. It just exists in the music.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you guys were surprised. So obviously you can't tell that our magnanimous music is made with autotune.
That's certainly an uncontroversial and easy to digest answer to that question. Thanks for that. And I've got the last did you know for us.
What is it, Vince?
Did you guys know that Nantauk is entrenched in a ever increasing arms race to make the lowest fi music possible?
The lowest fi?
The lowest fi, as you know, hi fi being a sound of probably the before the new millennium, where people were trying to make the music sound polished and super clean. Instead, we've kind of returned to a lo-fi aesthetic where there's some grain, there's some imperfections still on the tracks, etc., etc.
So, Twilight Mastodon, how many fi is low?
Well, you want to you want to get down to none, as close to none as possible.
So no,
I mean,
fies.
It's impossible to get down to none. I mean, it's like that thing where you're trying to make a touchdown and you go halfway and then you go halfway again and go halfway again. You're not going to get there, but
it's
you're
like
going to get
some total relationship with fies.
Huh?
yeah, it's like that the Greek philosopher who was talking about touchdowns said to go, you know, the whole way you must go halfway, and then to go halfway to there, you must go half that way.
You guys just repeating what I'm saying? I mean, I thought I made it pretty clear.
We're just trying to make it evident for our listeners who may not catch on as quickly as us. But so would your music be classified? What? How many fives would you give it? Two? One?
Well, I'm getting down there. I mean, you can record to wood. I mean, that's pretty grainy. It doesn't hold sound real well, so that's ideal. I've been experimenting on recording to sand, just like a plate of sand that doesn't hold its form, so it warps completely every time you listen.
I was going to say that I bought one of your LPs, and when I got the album, I was going to pull out the vinyl, but it was just a bunch of sand that poured out of the cover.
Yeah, how'd it sound though?
Well, I poured it on the record player, and it sounded pretty good.
What I learned about sand is it's kind of like a memory. So you listen to it one time, and it changes. You know, it's still you're re-recording that thing every time you hear it, and that's kind of a.
That's why you
developing sound
instead of an album case. You've been pouring your sand into a conch shell to distribute to people.
Yeah, you know, as long as you don't listen to that conch shell, that's a pretty, that's some pretty hi-fi shit right there.
Well, a poetic answer to end what has been a lyrical episode. Thank you so much, Twilight Mastodon, for taking the time out of your busy recording schedule to join us. Hopefully you'll stay with us just for a little longer for a segment we call Wish You Were Here.
So guys, we know that you couldn't be with us on our journey across America. It's just not feasible. But Vince and I try to include you every single week by recording an audio postcard from us to you. This week's goes something like this. Dear listener, wish you were here in Nantauk, Wisconsin.
A mecca for indie musicians to flock to the Northwoods to record their latest albums.
Musicians that in no way, shape, or form resemble anything that you would contrive as folk music.
A town plagued by not only intrepid and industrious musicians, but also one Zach Braff, Sire of Darkness.
A town where you cannot float above the ground, but it's hard not to listening to all these sweet jams.
Yeah. Farewell from these parts to your parts.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode of These Parts. Come back next week when we're in Cogan, Missouri.
Cogan, Missouri has kind of overnight become the headquarters for manufacturing Apple products after Chinese industrialists have re-outsourced the jobs to Cogan. That seems interesting to me. Stay tuned.